Hey everyone, it's CJ. The episode you're about to hear is a fun one. I was actually a guest on my good friend Taylor Elizabeth's podcast. Taylor and I have known each other for years. She came on my show once and absolutely blew everyone's mind. And about a year later, it was finally my turn to jump on hers. Now, I don't usually get to be on other people's shows, so this one's a bit special. You'll get to hear me in the hot seat for a change, talking about biohacking, mindset, and a bunch of stuff we usually don't dive into on Shift with CJ. Before we get into it, here's a quick bit about Taylor so you know who's on the other side of the mic. She's an etiquette and emotional intelligence expert who's worked all around the world, more than 20 countries. She's got a mix of business brains, psychology background, and real-life experience that makes her one of the most interesting people to talk to. She helps executives and entrepreneurs level up how they communicate, lead, and connect with people, and she's really damn good at it. So, let's jump in. Here's my conversation with Taylor Elizabeth. This is Biohacking Made Simple.
First thing, wake up in the morning, you want to inhale rapidly. You inhale rapidly for 30 seconds, and it sounds like... Round of 30, stop, take a deep breath and hold for 10 seconds and then exhale it out. This is something around your Wim Hof breathwork. Gives you a lot of energy, takes you less than 1.5 minutes. In the afternoon, when you are juggling with your emails and you know you feel like I need to get back into the moment, make a box. This is like a Navy SEAL. Breath. Yeah, box breathwork, yeah. 3 seconds inhale, 3 seconds hold, 3 seconds exhale, and 3 seconds hold.
Yeah.
We'll get you in 4 to 5 minutes right in the moment. Before you go to sleep, one of the famous ones is 4-7-8 breathwork, but I like to do like just a 4-8. So the 4-7-8 breathwork is inhale for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 7 seconds, but there's a caveat to this. Most people find this a lot like stimulating. So I just do the 4-8. You do inhale for 4 seconds and exhale for 8 seconds. So your exhales are twice as long as your inhales, mm-hmm. and that will trigger this parasympathetic nervous right. system.
Welcome to Success Decoded. I'm your host, Taylor Elizabeth, an emotional intelligence and self-development coach passionate about helping individuals uncover their true potential, build their confidence, and create meaningful success. This podcast is not just about achievements, titles, or material success. It's about exploring the deeper, often overlooked factors that contribute to extraordinary accomplishments. In each episode, I sit down with inspiring individuals from a variety of backgrounds to uncover their choices, habits, and mindsets that have shaped their journeys. Together, we explore the story behind the success, diving into resilience, emotional growth, curiosity, and other essential elements that often go unnoticed, but are crucial to living a truly fulfilled and impactful life. Get ready to decode the real keys to success, and let's embark on this enlightening conversation together.
Today, we're joined by someone who has transformed his life in the most remarkable of ways, CJ Mehota. CJ's story is one of resilience and reinvention. Once struggling with weight, he took control of his health through martial arts, but his journey didn't stop there. He dove deep into the world of biohacking and spirituality, unlocking powerful techniques to optimize not just his body, but also his mind and soul. Now he dedicates his life to helping others achieve the same transformation. In today's episode, we'll explore how spirituality plays a crucial role in biohacking, how mental strength and meditation can unlock our highest potential, and the life-changing habits that can take you make control of your life and performance. Get ready for an inspiring conversation that will challenge the way you think about success, well-being, and self-mastery. I am here today with CJ, who is a very dear friend of mine. So I'm so excited about this because you have so many things, so much wisdom to impart, so much about your journey that is both health, but also mindset, a lot about resilience. So I can't wait to get into this. I know you're going to have a lot for the listeners to learn and to share with them. So welcome,
I'm super
CJ.
Excited. Thank yes. you for having me.
This is a long time overdue, right? We've yeah. talked about this. We've talked about this so many times. I was actually on CJ's podcast and it was amazing. So I really want to talk first with all of our guests mm-hmm. about this concept of elegant virtues. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in this conversation, I always like to start, what are the values, the mm-hmm. habits, and the principles that define how we show up in the world and carry ourselves with intention? So mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on that? What do you believe embodies elegance? Which virtue?
For me, something that resonates the most is the kind of actions you take. Okay, now this doesn't fall under a virtue per se. But what I mean by that is the way I describe my life or the way I do anything, I take more ownership and responsibilities in all the actions that I take. And that has been working out for me fantastically for now. In traditional India, we have a concept called karma. And karma means action. And they say your life is defined by the kind of actions you take and the kind of the amount of responsibility you take for the actions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have strength. We have all these global virtues, which is, honesty, being sincere, not cheating people, love, all of that. But for me, more than that, I think the first thing that comes is taking ownership and responsibility of your actions. And this could be, you could bring this into anything. You could bring this into your health. You can bring this into your relationships. You can bring this into a work environment. Just knowing that what you're going to be doing is completely on you and you're going to be responsible for it. It changes your perspective on everything because mm-hmm. then you have no one to blame. You have no one to complain about. It's all about you and you have complete ownership over it and you have complete control over it.
Amazing.
So I would say
That's amazing.
I don't know if that answers.
It totally does. Yeah. It totally does. So what I'm hearing a lot of there is that you are being responsible. Mm. It's consciousness. It's mm-hmm. absolute consciousness, responsibility. It's a lot about what we talk about being both intentional and having intention, right? Mm-hmm. So you yourself have been through a huge transformational journey. Mm-hmm. One struggling with prioritizing your health, for example, was there a specific moment that motivated you to change?
So for the listeners, I was really overweight. Okay, and I was bullied a lot. So my moment of change came from a lot of external, not being able to kind of like be externally because I grew up in a culture where, or like, let's say in a point of time where there was excessive bullying. It was a lot of body shaming. It was a lot of like people would want to take advantage and fight with you. And all of these things built up your bucket of frustration. So you come to a point, it's like, I can't take this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm getting bullied every day, day and night. People are taking me, no one's taking me seriously. Everyone's making fun of me. There are some physical assaults which are also involved, you know, growing up in like all boys school and things like that. So I think that was the time I was like, I'm going to do something about it. Because if this is how life will be, I don't want life to be this way. And then that was probably the time where you spoke about intention. My intention was, okay, I'm going to do something. What can I do? Then I moved around to look around for different solutions, met a lot of people, all of that stuff. But I think it started from there. It came to a point where I couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I could see that it's only happening to me. And like there are other kids or like other people around me who aren't living that life. I was like, I want to live that life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live this life. And then that again makes you take certain decisions or think about life in a different way.
Yeah. So there was definitely choices that you made because something provoked you to make that choice or I guess encouraged you to make that choice. Definitely there was a mindset shift mm-hmm. for sure. Knowing you, since again, mm-hmm. we're really close friends. So knowing you, I know it was martial arts, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of got you on or not only got you there, but I think maybe inspired you, continues to do so. It continues you on your journey, which has led to so much more health and awareness. So I know that it requires a lot of mental strength, right? Which I'm thinking before, if you're struggling with your weight, if you're struggling with being harassed or being bullied, if you're struggling with different things, you probably had maybe a mindset that wasn't as resilient or you had a mindset that wasn't challenged. And I know that martial arts requires you to have that. And I'm always fascinated by with it. So was that your first step, you think? I know it's your continued step, but it was your first step?
Yes, it was. To give the listeners a little bit of story, I was walking around the streets of Bir Dubai. That's where I used to live earlier. And I'm walking and I'm so frustrated, like, you know, what can I do? And I just look up for like answer, like just looking to the sky. And on the first floor of this building, it says Golden Fist Karate Center, Karate and Kung Fu Center. I was like, okay, I've seen some like movies and like, you know, Jackie Chan never gets beaten up and he's like so fast. So I was like, what if I could just go to this first floor? And then I go and I see all of these people, students, they're practicing martial arts. I'm like, I'm going to take this step. So martial arts, as you said, it can do a lot of things for you. It's because it trains you how to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. It trains you how to respond under stressful situations, control stress environments. And it allows you to do, like, you know, physically is great because we know everyone, most of the people who do martial arts are fit because there's a long time commitment and a lot of energy demands on martial arts as well. So I found that to be like the center point. I was like, okay, I can be more disciplined. I can lose weight. It gives me a way to protect myself. Let me give it a shot. So okay. It was the center point. That's why I chose martial arts. Mm-hmm. And of course, after that time, I realized, and knowing what I know right now about neuroplasticity, on how your muscles can generate emotions and how getting let down, because martial arts is not easy. You're practicing for years and years, and you probably not even get into a fight. Most people think that martial arts are just for fighting, but no, right. it's just preparing your body for so much more. And I honestly, Taylor, for me, I credit everything that I have in life to my early days of just going to the dojo. We call it dojo in mm-hmm. Japanese, and getting beaten up by the instructor, but in a very friendly way.
Yeah.
And it just teaches you a lot.
Yeah.
So that's, I can credit everything that I have onto that discipline, those reps, knowing that you have to come every day, you have to do the right step, and you might not even see success.
Right. It's, I mean, this is, again, resilience to something. Mm-hmm. I think also working towards a goal that isn't, will always be realized because it's within self, right? So it's like within self. One, I think, thing that I know some people that are struggling with their outer appearance, so with their weight or whatever it is. When you go into a class environment or when you go into like a physical, like a gym or anything like that, you would feel intimidated, right? If you don't physically feel great about yourself, right? This is your emotions. You're going to have a lot of thoughts that are going to trigger these emotions, and you're going to feel probably even less secure about yourself. When you went up to that studio, and I know you were at a point of, I've got to make a change. When you walked up to that studio, how, now looking back, or maybe at that time, do you remember how you basically battled those thoughts you were having to say, you know what, I know, yes, I may be a little bit out of shape, or I may be overweight, and I'm not looking like these other people here, and this is new and scary, right? So how did you, what's the mindset there? That's maybe a magic pill for somebody, so that way they're in that situation, they can pull this out of this podcast and be like, okay, I can do it because CJ said it. So tell us.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you. Martial arts uniforms are pretty loose, so you don't see many people. You don't see the shape.
So he chose the sport. But, he chose a sport where he could hide that.
Yeah, but you see people doing flying kicks, and you see people spinning in the air. You see people doing backflips, and that is a evidence of how fit they are. So if you had to look at it in that direction, it's intimidating because, you know, I was getting beaten by in school and I was like, okay, now these guys will also take advantage of me. But in that moment, there is this window of opportunity or a choice where you say, okay, I'm going to take a certain amount of calculated risk because these guys who are here, they probably, and I spoke to the instructor, I'm like, hey, listen, this is my problems. Do you think this will work for me? He said, of course, like this will. And it's just taking that one step, trusting your, I didn't even know what intuition was, but I guess at this time feels more like an intuitive step, tapping into thinking, okay, sounds like a risk, but sounds like there's more upside to this than the downside. Mm-hmm. And the upside is easy to measure. So I took that risk. That's another thing, apart from all the bullying, I just fell in love with going to class every day, meeting a bunch of people, because I didn't have many friends. Like, you know, everyone's bullying me. But I made new friends.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is a community as well.
Yeah.
And we know that we all flourish in communities. Like, loneliness is taking over the planet. We are 8 billion people, but still we don't have, like, we're still lonely.
Yeah.
At that time, it was a bit different, but it was nice to just go and communicate with people. So I think the magic, if I had to break it down and we had to reverse engineer it, is taking that first step. A lot of the times people are looking for motivation. They're thinking that, okay, if I can get to, you know, wake up early in the morning, and if I feel like going to the gym, and then I'm going to make the first step, or I'm going to move my body. But usually what happens is your mind follows your body. So I would say, even if you're not motivated, take the first step, take the second step, take the third step, and you will see that your mind will start following it. In a lot of ancient cultures, we we describe mind and the body and the soul and like other parts of us, it's like the onion. It's like different layers.
Layers, yeah.
Know that you're not just one. You are comprised of different, like different layers.
Mm-hmm.
And body is one layer. Move the body first, your mind will follow.
Yeah, exactly.
But most people, like, they need motivation. It's not about motivation. Mm-hmm. It's about taking the first step.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we do talk about, when I'm coaching, we do talk a lot about internal and external motivation, because we'll always have the external motivation. But if the internal motivation is not matched with your external motivation, then you're at a standstill. It's like two energy forces working against each other versus like the onion concept, all these different layers all together, all working together.
Yeah.
Make one step. That's probably the one advice I would say. CJ is very well versed. This is where we have these very long conversations about philosophy, about intuition, about religion, about everything, and about meditation, all these things. That's where we are now. But at some point, you realize that it's the mind that we have to really work on as well, right? Not just the body. Was there a point for you where you realized that?
Yeah. So even after martial arts, I did a lot of bodybuilding. I did a lot of CrossFit. I ran marathons, not like the longer ones, but shorter ones. But I was always trying to prove my worth with physical accomplishments. And most of the times, that's what people who come from a place of, you know, either bullying or there is something to do with their physical experiences, what they try to show to the world or prove to the world is that, hey, I'm better than this. Look what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of that. And yeah, of course, like everyone's clapping for you. You're in center stage. You feel good, but that's only momentarily. Next day, chances are you'll still be upset or depressed or angry or anxious. That's the time I've started thinking, okay, if this is not it, if I can be the highest of my physical achievements, at least in the people that I know, what is it? And then I started looking around and I saw that people around the world in different cultures, different traditions, different countries, they don't have the best physical means. And we're blessed to be in a country like UAE and especially forward moving city like Dubai. So back in the day, you know, you have better amenities and luxuries than most of the world. So yes, you're lucky that way. But there are still countries which people can hardly get like food two times per day.
Mm-hmm.
But you look in their eyes and they're always happy.
Yes.
They're smiling. You see this aura around them.
Yes.
So why is that? Yeah. Why do we have everything and we're still not content or we're thinking about the next thing? And why does someone have nothing and they're still like so happy about life? That's where, you know, your this mindset, like you said, comes along, right? So then I wanted to like travel the world. I met different groups of people. I sat with them, spoke to them, and I realized that, yeah, there is much more to this. Then I got introduced to other holistic concepts of like, you know, the science of yoga and all of these, the Buddhist tradition and what they're talking about, the mind and the Chinese and how they were talking about energy fields. And I was like, oh, this makes sense.
Yes.
Let me go explore this path.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started exploring all of these different paths.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made sense. And for someone who's listening, you might be thinking that, okay, Taylor has this podcast and she's talking about mindset. That's why this has been recorded evidence for the last 5,000 or 6,000 years. It goes as early as, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna also talks about the mind. And he says, the one who has conquered his mind can conquer all the world.
Exactly.
And, you know, in Greece, even Hippocrates said, like, I'm paraphrasing it, but it's something like, if your mind becomes your enemy, then there's nothing in this world that can solve it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Everything starts within us. Like everything comes from what we think is what we are.
Yeah.
And what we think is what we will see.
Yeah.
What we think is what we will experience and is what we will become.
So reality is happening within us all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
And also something for mindset, something that comes across is like, at least in the recent times, Henry Ford said this, whether you think you can make it or not, you're right all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're why right not way. Choose that you can?
Yeah, exactly.
You can have the life of your dreams. You can meet the person of your dreams. You can have the business or the career or the physical aspects. And yeah, just embrace that because it's going to be right.
Yeah, exactly. It will be. Yes. Yeah. And also if you want to be happy.
Yeah.
You have, then if you think you're happy, then you will be happy.
Yeah.
And that's very that's really condensing it, yeah. but that's where it starts. Yeah. It all starts within ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So you see these people, for example, you were talking about where we're living in the UAE, we're very privileged in the mm-hmm. sense of security. It's a wonderful place to live, the government, everything, and the quality of life is amazing. But we have all those things, which are those things really distractions from self, right? Mm-hmm. From what's going on within our own self, our mind. Oftentimes, I think the world is kind of constructed in a way to distract ourselves from sitting with ourselves and mm-hmm. understanding ourselves. We actually had this, we went to an event together and they said that people like would rather be shocked
yeah.
than actually sit with themselves yeah. in silence for 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Now, CJ and I sit with ourselves with silence quite mm-hmm. a lot because we meditate every day. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, could you imagine, like, people just don't want to sit with ourselves. And that is the first step, right? Of shifting our mindset is to sit within self and to try to understand self without judgment, right?
Yeah. Because it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, right?
It's uncomfortable. For yeah. most people, they're... People take actions in their life to resolve issues by either distracting themselves, mm-hmm. whether it could be with more work, going to the gym and working out, alcohol, drugs, sex. It's all of these distractions, but hardly people find the time to address it full on. Mm-hmm. And that's how you see people develop later tendencies of anxiety or depression or post-traumatic stress disorder. All of these things come from an inability from a person to sit by himself. I think there was this guy in France, he said, like, all wars in the world could be stopped if man gets its ability to sit with himself.
With himself, yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. And ask yourself, so I think often we look at something that happens outside of ourselves, like something negative that happens, like, mm-hmm. why is this happening to me? Why, I mean, that kind of a thing, or mm-hmm. let me solve that problem. But we actually don't look within self, like what mm-hmm. is really going on here? That's uncomfortable, right? And mm-hmm. that takes a lot to get through it, but it's a wonderful journey. So you've witnessed it within yourself quite mm-hmm. a bit. How about with your clients? We'll talk a little bit about your clients. Yeah. Maybe talk a little bit about your journey where you are now. So you went from doing martial arts, a lot of sports, a lot of fitness, a lot of health into biohacking, which is amazing.
Yeah, so a quick timeline. Obese and bullied in school, decided to do something about it, started martial arts, started all kinds of physical sports, realized nothing really gets you onto the level of contentment that you really want to be. Mm-hmm. And then traveled the world, came back, spoke to a lot of science and doctors and all of those things. A lot of people come up to me and they say, hey, I can do X because of my genetics. Mm-hmm. I come from a country and like a lineage where I know my grandfather has the same problem and my great grandfather or my great grandmother. So this is a limiting belief. And then what I like to tell them is that your genetics, of course, it's unique. It's something very specific to you, but they're not the ones that are going to pull the trigger. Your mm-hmm. environment is. So mm-hmm. there's a whole science of epigenetics, which means how your environment affects your biology. And again, you have control over your environment for at least 50% of the time, which means you can make sure that your kitchen doesn't have things that will actually disrupt or switch on some of those genes.
Right.
You can block blue light that I am doing right now.
Right, with the yellow glasses, everyone, just in case you haven't noticed.
You can make sure that when your phone's on you, you put it on airplane mode so you don't get direct EMF mm-hmm. and that doesn't trigger some of your cells to start firing. So these things can be in your environment. Now, a lot of people also say, I get this a lot, like, I can't lose weight or I can't go to the gym because I'm super busy. Mm-hmm. This could be one. Like, yeah. you know, the world's pushing a lot of responsibility on you. And a lot of people, they're not able to just manage their time. And when you give them the perspective and tell them, like, hey, we all have 24 hours in the day. We all have certain things. Yeah, of course, some people have certain things which are takes much more of their time. But there are other ways to do things. There are micro workouts. There are HIIT workouts. Mm-hmm. You can, like, do 20 squats every hour
squat.
You can take your calls while you're walking.
Yeah, exactly.
Like for me in my office, I have like a walking treadmill desk. I just walk like 20,000 steps and it's effortless. Mm-hmm. So you can create your environment and you can change your environment. And also you can, look for creative ways, out of the box ways, mm-hmm. because if someone tells you going to the gym for 2 hours a day is the only path for you, or like eating 500 calories and then thinking, can I reduce this more? That's not the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't be stuck on just one line of thought. Expand your horizons. Like, go and talk to different experts. Read a few books. Right now, there's AI. So this is, we're not in the age of like lack of knowledge.
All right. we're there's just maybe too much.
Yeah, we're in the age of mismanagement of your energy, because time is ticking the same way for all of us. Mm-hmm. It is how much energy you can manage. And that's how biohacking also comes in, because with biohacking you can, or just like just going back to first principles and having enough sunlight, eating the right amount of food, meditating a little bit, not too much, 10 minutes a day. Harvard shows us that increases like gray matter in the prefrontal mm-hmm. cortex, yes. which is the logical side of your brain. So you can make better decisions. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take too much, but if you go back to the fundamentals, then you can have a bigger impact on your life. And that bigger impact comes in terms of energy. And if you have 2 hours and you have the energy to, you know, bring in 6 hours of things, there are people who can do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, time is very different for everyone.
Please tell our viewers a little bit, what is biohacking, just in case somebody doesn't know?
Okay, we'll give you a official definition. Biohacking is the art and science of upgrading your biology by upgrading your environment, what goes outside of you and what goes inside of you. Meaning, you look for triggers in the environment that will disrupt your biology. You get them out, or you change them, or you hack them. You see what you're taking inside. Food, oxygen, light, thoughts. Mm-hmm. This is a bigger one. Yeah. Thoughts. What kind of thoughts you're saying to yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And you change it. Now, biohacking can be assisted with technology, with supplements, with just going outside and, you know, getting some sunlight. Mm-hmm. All of these things, I think back in the day, people who were like these ancient yogis and stuff who have given us a lot of literature on like what is the rule book of life itself, or like life on this planet. Biohacking is inspired from them, because right now, like we're in a box kind of a studio. We probably get into our car and go to work, and you know we miss going to the beach or you know grounding ourselves. But you can get a grounding mat and do it at your office. Mm-hmm. You probably did not wake up this morning to watch the sunrise or sunset, and it's like magical light. But you can switch on a red light therapy panel. So right now, I think it's ancient wisdom meets modern science. That's mm-hmm. where we are somewhere, which is biohacking to me.
Yeah. So before it was lifestyle, right? So this is a lifestyle we're talking mm-hmm. about. Biohacking is a lifestyle. Yeah. It's because it's an active choice mm-hmm. to live a certain way, emotionally, mentally, physically, etc. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think the yogis you're talking about, or ancient societies mm-hmm. or cultures, have been doing it anyway, right? So they woke up at a certain time, they got the light. They mm-hmm. were listening, for example, sound healing. They were listening to different sounds at frequencies because of they were going to temple every day, or mm-hmm. they were listening, they were hearing those kinds mm-hmm. of things. They had the exposure. They were eating foods that were in season when organic. They were supposed to, organic, etc. So like this is basically, so now we're trying to make these healthy things fit back in, as mm-hmm. well as our mindset also of it and the way we're thinking about it. So that's very important as well. One biohacking that I talk a lot of with my clients is about breathing. Now mm-hmm. I talk about it in the context of when you are feeling that you're overwhelmed. For example, you can't get a hold of your emotions. You're mm-hmm. having, either you can't focus, either you can't, you're emotionally dysregulated, for example, and you need to focus again. You need to get yourself centered. I talk about breathing. Mm-hmm. Will you talk a little bit about breathing as a biohack?
Yeah, so breathing is one of the oldest biohacks, I guess, because all around the world, when we look at literature, we find some elements of different cultures going towards some sort of a breath work. Right now, all around the world, Wim Hof is really famous. Mm-hmm. But the Wim Hof method, where you hyperventilate, comes from Tomo breathing in the Nepalese and the Tibetan region. That comes from the Himalayan region. So I guess, even like to your point, we're not discovering something new. These things have already been there. We're just realizing it. We're rediscovering it.
Yeah.
So from that point, breath is the source of life. In India, we call it prana. Sometimes in Chinese medicine, you call it qi. So what is the source of life which is throbbing within you? You're able to control. You get able, and there are only three things you can do with it. You can inhale longer and deeper. You can exhale faster and deeper. Or you cannot breathe at all, which is like retention of breath.
Yeah.
Each of these have certain physiological symptoms in your body. So as soon as, for example, you do this deep inhale and really fast, the Wim Hof method, you get hyperventilation. Hyperventilation triggers more stress hormones in your body. In a way, it makes you more energized, it makes you more focused, it makes you in the moment and ready to go. Then you have deep breathing where you exhale a lot. When your exhales are longer than your inhales, your body goes into parasympathetic nervous mm-hmm. system, which means it goes into rest and digest. This is something that we would do in a stressed out situation, or we would want to do this before sleeping. There is mm-hmm. a lot of YouTube playlists on yoga nidra as well. And, you know, it's easy for people to go to sleep, because just saying this, because a lot of people cannot sleep properly these days. It's too much on their mind. And then we have breath holds. Breath holds are also interesting. You have to do them in a good way. But once you can hold your breath and focus it into different parts of your body, with practice you can do it, you can release certain chemicals which you cannot normally. Mm. One of the famous ones being dimethyltryptamine, or DMT, which is activated when you do mushrooms or ayahuasca or something. This is the one that shows you colors. You can also naturally activate it. Holotropic breathwork does this quite a lot. And the part that does this is a breath hold. Also, it enhances more oxygen throughout your body. So we think breathing oxygen means getting oxygen, but that's not the case. Actually, oxygen is traveling via our red blood cells and our hemoglobin. And the moment we stop breathing, or we have some kind of breath retention, carbon dioxide builds up. Mm-hmm. And as soon as carbon dioxide builds up, it's a signal for the red blood cells to dump oxygen in the mm-hmm. bloodstream. So you can get you can get more oxygen.
Right.
So there are these different ways you can do it. If you want, I can share with your audience like the top three ones that I like to do. Okay, first thing, wake up in the morning, you want to inhale rapidly. You inhale rapidly for 30 seconds and it sounds like round of 30, stop, take a deep breath and hold for 10 seconds and then exhale it out. This is something around your Wim Hof breathwork. Gives you a lot of energy. Takes you less than 1.5 minutes. In the afternoon, when you are juggling with your emails and, you know, you feel like I need to get back into the moment, make a box. This is like a Navy SEAL. Yeah, box breathwork. Yeah. 3 seconds inhale, 3 seconds hold, 3 seconds exhale, and 3 seconds hold.
Yeah.
Will get you in 4 to 5 minutes right in the moment. Before you go to sleep, one of the famous ones is 4-7-8 breathwork, but I like to do like just a 4-8. So the 4-7-8 breathwork is inhale for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 7 seconds. But there's a caveat to this. Most people find this a lot like stimulating. So I just do the 4-8. You do inhale for 4 seconds and exhale for 8 seconds. So your exhales are twice as long as your inhales, mm-hmm. and that will trigger this parasympathetic nervous system.
Right, so. And the parasympathetic nervous system is where we really ideally want to be existing.
Yeah.
Most of the time. We're not, though. We're usually in our sympathetic nervous system, which is the stress response. And it's also very elevated because we never really address bringing that back to center or in the parasympathetic side, which is done by breathing. It's a skill. Yeah, it definitely is a skill. And you just gave us your favorite breathing technique, so we don't even have to ask you that question. So that's fantastic. Great. How would you advise somebody not to get overwhelmed by all these hacks, so that you're actually kind of undermining the whole purpose of biohacking in the first place?
It's an interesting question, because one of the things that we see quite a lot is someone hears a podcast about biohacking, and then the first thing they do is to go on Google and they see, okay, 10 top biohacks for my life. And then they look at 10 of them and they start doing 10 of them. Day two, they're overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Day three, 5 of it is gone.
Yeah.
Day four, they make a post saying biohacking doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are living in is a time of instant gratification, and this has been reconditioned by all the social media apps, and every time we want something like right in the moment. But life doesn't work that way. It took a long time for evolution to get us to this state right now, where we can look at each other and we can talk to millions of people. So it takes time. Okay. What I like to tell people is, look at what is that one thing that is the most concerning for you, then reverse engineer it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that one thing that you can do today that will make the biggest amount of difference? It could be breathing, or it could be something. Okay. Then see how feasible it is for you to do it once or twice a day. Can you do like a 1 minute breathwork? You don't have to do a 10 minute breathwork. You can do a 5 minute breathwork, or can you do a 4 minute breathwork? And as you take that first step, just stick with it. Like you said, small changes every day, incrementality. That is how most of the successful people around the world as well, like, they just have better systems. Mm-hmm. It's not about motivation. It's not about willpower. It's not about all those things. Because after a certain point, it goes away. It's about algorithms. Mm-hmm. If this, then that.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I'm stressed, I'm going to take a minute of break.
Mm-hmm. I think it also, as a coach, exactly what you're saying about, so you talk about like re-engineering it, mm-hmm. or working backwards. I always talk about working backwards from the objective, what you want mm-hmm. to achieve, and then working backwards from there. But I think here, what I would say as a coach is when you do make those small steps, exactly, when you do too many things, you get overwhelmed and you'll stop mm-hmm. doing it. You'll have tons of external motivation because mm-hmm. you see that it works like for somebody else, but internally you will not have it whatsoever. So you'll have that mismatch. Mm-hmm. But then in addition to that, you'll be overwhelmed and you won't do it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when you do something and you ask yourself, which is a great tip, everyone, ask yourself, what do you think you'll actually be able to achieve? Mm-hmm. And then when you do it, if you don't do it to some kind of weird construct of perfection that either society has told you or you have given yourself, give yourself grace. Yeah. This is where I would say, like, if it didn't work out today, try it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's no big deal. Right. But I think that we give it a lot. We give it a lot of pressure to ourselves that we have to be doing this, this, and this. And if we don't do it, then we failed or it has failed us. Right. Either one of the two things. So I think that's a really important.
Yeah. Because
part.
We're trying to live other people's lives more than we're trying to live our own lives.
Yeah, exactly.
We look at social media. We look at conferences. We read magazines and we think this is the way to be. Mm-hmm. But your way is your way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. Every person is different. They have like a different biochemical individuality, different personalities, different energy structures. Yeah. And it's much more like Hippocrates says this, the father of modern medicine, by the way. Mm-hmm. He said, it is so much more important to find out about the man with the disease rather than the disease that caught the man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we need to understand you. Maybe you cannot do 5 kilometers. Can you do like 100 steps? Start somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, 80-20 rule, Pareto principle.
Yeah.
80% of your efforts will come from like 20%. So yeah, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, exactly. And it is, I say this to my clients also. And I also, when I'm trying to help my clients reframe things, mm-hmm. because they're like, oh, well, somebody else wouldn't think that way. And I'm like, yes, but what do you think? What do you really want? Who are you? You yourself? Because when you go to sleep in at nighttime, when you wake up in the morning, that's who you're with and that's what you're living with and that's who you're working on. So why are you working on somebody else or everything else outside of self? Really work on self, because in the end, it's all about you. It is actually all about you.
You're the only person.
You're the only person. Best friend. Yeah, you're your best friend. Exactly. It starts there. Okay, so I'm going to ask some more biohacking and success specifically. Okay, so I think we're decoding a lot of things about success here today. A lot of it's mindset. A lot of it is, again, starting with self. A lot of it is little steps at a time. A lot of it is your journey as well. So one of the things I love the most is just your sense of purpose. So one thing that CJ and I share a lot of, besides a big appreciation from biohacking, but from a life, is spirituality, which we've talked about a lot. But you are definitely one of those people where their passion has met their purpose. And that is something that I really talk about and believe in, because this is whatever I do it with such passion and love, because it's like my passion and purpose came together. It's like everything in one. And that's my joy. You know, this is where a lot of my joy comes from. Have you seen a difference in the result for people that actually have integrated those two things together? So they live in that manner where if they're living, their passion meets their purpose. Mm.
Like you said, like the way you are joyful all the time,
you
could go beyond the traditional means, whether it comes to effort or whether it comes to doing the same things again and again, like repetitions. All of these change when you join your passion and your purpose. And like, I must say, we're really blessed. We're very lucky for this to happen.
Yes.
A lot of the people in the world are still trying to figure out their purpose or like trying to integrate it. So I wish everyone the best of luck. But once you get there, you'll start seeing that things aren't like your sense of time. It changes completely.
Yes.
Your sense of getting into flow states are, and these are states where you become invisible, basically. Those change. And also what you can bring out to the world, because I also think like no matter how well educated you are, what kind of experiences you've had, or, you know, whatever you've studied or your experiences, I would say that, or your resources, when these two things combine, what you bring into the world is also directed by a very higher power, which is not just you. Okay, you can be a vessel to doing all of these things and you will feel it, because most of the people around you will say, how do you even come up with this, or how do you even do this, or how is this happening? And most of the times you could, I mean, even if you're really honest with yourself, if you don't inflate your ego so high, if you really ask yourself, okay, where is this really coming from? You won't have the answer.
No.
So it's when your passion, you your purpose. Yeah, exactly.
It's intuition.
Yeah. Once it comes together, you have a force that is pushing you from the back.
Yes.
And like, it's agreed. Good to ride that force, because I rather have the force pushing me from the back rather than from the front.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's easier. So most people associate biohacking with health, but biohacking and emotional intelligence are really closely linked, and they're very closely linked to neuroscience, right? So what do you think for the role of and the impact of biohacking has had on your success in business, relationships, and over life performance?
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
again, what I, like I said before, biohacking gives you a chance to upgrade your energy. And what you need to be successful in anything in life, even having this conversation, is managing your energy. So the moment I have higher amounts of energy, I can bring in more of my life experiences. I can condense them in a way, and I can talk to you on this podcast. Of course, I have to be present, but being present also requires a certain amount of energy. If I didn't sleep well last night, or I've been eating crappy food, I will not be able to bring the same amount of energy here. Now, even for spirituality, which we touched on a little bit, there are multiple systems in this world which are invisible to us, okay? For all of those systems to work in alignment, you need to go back to the basic and the fundamentals, like managing your energy, managing your food. If you're inflamed and your joints are paining all the time and someone asks you to sit, close your eyes and meditate, you won't be able to do it. So there, that's the barrier. Biohacking, the nutrition side of biohacking, can have a look at that and be like, okay, perfect. If you just fix these things, you might not be inflamed. That means then you're able to sit in a posture for some time. That means now you have more, you have better logical thinking, which means you can take better decisions for your team the next day, and you can increase the likelihood of partnering with someone that will increase your success. And then that success will grow your business, and that will get you happy hormones. And those hormones will, you know, have an impact on your fat burning and your muscle building. In your life, you become a better person. You're being reinforced for doing something so positive right from the beginning, whether it's putting your phone on airplane mode or like standing in front of a red light. That means you see that the world around you is receiving your energy in a different way. So you start looking at the world in a different way and give more of that energy back. So it's all a loop. And then, you know, your friends are happy, your family is happy, no one's angry.
Yeah, exactly. So, and this all started with some small changes.
Yeah,
some awareness and some fundamental changes, right? Which is, I think, a huge thing for everybody listening, is that it's these awareness of what's going on, the change that you want to make, and then the small steps. Yeah. Because those little steps change everything. Which is like it's exponential at a certain point. Okay, there's also one thing which I use a lot as a coach, which is reframing. So reframing is, and we're going to talk about the biohacking behind this and neuroscience behind this. So I use reframing with my clients, again, when they have limiting beliefs about something. How do you reframe a situation? How do you rethink that? So this is what you're saying about something. This is the way you saw it. So how can you rethink that? Right now in neuroscience, they're saying that this is actually a biohack, if you will. Rethinking is a biohack. How is that a biohack?
So there's a law in neuroscience. It's called the Hebb's law. The law says neurons that fire together. That means every time you have a thought, that thought has a chemical signature, and that has a magnetic signature, and it has an electrical signature. All of these signatures are working in your body. With the chemicals, you're increasing your hormones. With the magnetic, you're increasing, let's say, your vibe. And with the electrical, you are changing the way your muscles are contracting, the way your eyes are looking at things. So everything in reality came from a thought, right? Like we heard, someone back in the day was talking to like 100 people and he couldn't get his voice to the last person, and they say, hey, if I could just, you know, build some, or if there was a device or there was something, a tool which can take my voice and then get it to the 100th person, it would be really cool. And then someone maybe came up with the loudspeaker, and then they came up with the microphone, and now we have the wireless microphone, and now we can reach to millions of people. So anything in reality comes with a thought. Your thought is one of the most powerful things you have. What thought are you going to have? So this is where the reframing comes in. Okay, if your thought can change let's take this mic, for example. Someone thought about this mic, and then someone went to a designer and said, okay, how can we make this thing in a two-dimensional figure? Someone drew it out. Then they took it to the engineer and the manufacturers, then they created a three-dimensional piece of this mic, which is sitting right here. So something that started from your mind can actually translate into reality very fast. Mm-hmm. That's why I guess this reframing, like everything in universe is
coming from the thought.
It's coming from our thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thoughts are very powerful. Mm-hmm. Choose them wisely. And, you know, I tell people, like, you're the director of your own movie. Basically, it's you choose. You want to have a very dramatic and a crazy movie, or you want to have a very happy ending, happy stuff, because you can direct it yourself.
Yeah. Ask yourself what you really want. Yeah. And then think that way about it. Yeah.
And what also you can do is, like, something very simple for you. You know, you want to be a person, whether it's career, love, finance, whatever, in the next 5 years or next 2 years, just put it down exactly. I am the person who's super fit. I'm the person who's super successful. And then draw a timeline back and just ask, like, okay, what does this person do in this very moment? Mm-hmm. And then just learn from it. Yeah. Your future self can teach you a lot because you already know what you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Just see what decisions that person will make.
Okay, one last question. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get to the rapid fire, which I already know a lot of these answers anyway, okay. But let's just go through it. Okay, so what do you think has been the main contributor of success with being a forerunner to biohacking in the UAE market for you?
TikTok. And YouTube.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. So then, see, you're leveraging that the right way. Fantastic.
Yes.
So you
not got just the word for me. Out. Yeah, not just for me, because, you know, it is a complex topic to understand, but there are educators all around the world who are spending a lot of time making content, doing conferences, and now those things are spreading around the rest of the world. It's made itself here. So now before I used to stand on the top of a building and say, hey, red light therapy is good for you. And now we have people coming in and said, hey, I saw a TikTok on that YouTube video. Yeah. And yeah, so it's I guess mass media is helping it quite a lot.
Okay, good. All right, rapid fire. So before we close, I left some lighthearted but meaningful rapid fire round. So these are quick questions to capture your instincts, okay? Mm-hmm. And offer a glimpse into the personal side of your journey.
Okay.
Okay, so first thing that comes to your mind, okay? One biohack you swear by.
Inverted saunas.
Yes, okay. Morning person or night owl?
Morning person.
Okay. One food you completely avoid?
Fats like vegetable oils.
Okay. A book that changed your perspective on health?
The Bulletproof Diet.
Okay. That's a good one. If you could have dinner with one wellness expert, who would it be?
Ben Greenfield.
Okay. Who is he?
He's a biohacker.
He's a biohacker. Okay. One habit everyone should adopt today?
Sleep better. Go to bed early.
Go to bed early. Yeah. Go to bed early, everyone. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Cold showers or sauna?
Can I say both?
Both. Yeah. I knew both was coming on that one. All right. One thing most people get wrong about biohacking.
That is for the extremely rich or the extremely privileged.
Yeah. Okay. Your guilty pleasure food.
On sleep deprivation days, protein bars.
Okay.
But then I eat a lot of them, so.
That's not so bad, everyone. Yeah. Okay, it could be much worse. If you weren't a biohacker, what would you be doing?
I would be teachings. I guess that's also my calling. I love to teach people.
Yeah.
I would be teaching.
That's a very it's noble art. It is a noble art. Well, thank you so much, CJ, for being here today. This was amazing. CJ's journey is proof that no matter where we start, we have the power to reshape our future by just taking one step. We've discovered that biohacking can be a foundation for our personal health, but also our professional journey. I hope this conversation has been inspirational for you as it has been for me. I urge you to take a moment to reflect. What small shift can you make today to align your body, mind, and spirit, and to support your personal and professional journey and helping you match your passion with your purpose? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Success Decoded. Until next time, stay curious. Stay empowered and keep redefining success on your own terms.